Today is July 23rd, 2013. This is Desiree Hargis on behalf of the H.J. Lucher Stark Center for Physical Culture and Sports. As part of the 1968 U.S. Olympic Team Legacy Project, I am interviewing Robert Lee James Jr. over the phone about his experiences in the 1968 Games in Mexico City and in Acapulco, Mexico. Can you begin with when and where you were born?
Yes, I'll do that. I was born in Matthews, Virginia, a little town called Mobjack, Virginia. M-O-B-J-A-C-K, Mobjack, Virginia. And you've got my birth date, I guess. I was born in 10/20/33.
And where did you grow up? Can you tell me about where you grew up?
I grew up in Matthews, and I went to school in Matthews, and I graduated from Matthews and went on to college.
And when did you first get involved in sailing?
I was probably about 6 years old.
And how were you introduced to the sport? Who got you into
the
sport?
Well, what happened was we lived on a creek in Matthews, a Mobjack. And the person across the way from us had a canoe. And on Sunday, we would go sailing in his canoe. And if the wind was good, we would... he would have several people in there because it was the only thing you had for riding a boat was the sailors on board, the crew members. So I would go out sailing with him on Sundays once in a while, and then that kind of introduced me to sailing. And then later on, I got involved in, crewing for other people as I grew up in the high school and so forth. And I crewed and sailed International 14 and sailed a lot of other boats along that time. This was when I was in high school.
Mm.
And then after that, I graduated and went to college. And I didn't have much time for sailing after that until I finished college at Georgia Tech. And I came home and I got interested again in sailing. And I bought a Flying Dutchman. And I sailed against a guy that was in the Olympic team of, we were 68, so it must have been 64, the Olympic team. And he taught me an awful lot concerning the Flying Dutchman. And we mastered it and sailed all over the world, literally, for several years. And then ended up in being selected for the Olympic trials, which were held in San Diego, California.
Hmm.
And we, Olympic trials, we motored three boats out from here in Virginia, out to San Diego, and sailed in the Olympic trials. And guess who was there? There were lots of folks that you would probably know.
Mm.
Yeah. One of them was Ted Turner. He sailed in Olympic trials and a lot of other people in the United States.
So how was your training and travel and competition supported at that time? What was your source of financial support for the sport?
I had no financial support at all during all of my training or any of the trips or anything that we did, that we went on. We got no support.
Hmm.
I think that's probably true of yachting. There was no money for support. Once in a while, they will support you if you win something and you get a trip to go overseas or something. You'll get some money for that. But no, I did it all myself.
Mm-hmm.
We bought the boat, traveled with the boat, and so forth. Until I got in the Olympics. Once I was selected for the Olympics, of course, they picked up everything from there on. They paid for the trip out to Mexico City and to Acapulco. Now, one thing that you should remember here, we were all in Mexico City for the raising, for the beginning of the Olympics.
For the opening ceremony?
Opening ceremony. They flew us over to Mexico City, and we paraded with everybody else. And then once that was done, we went back to Acapulco. And we had another nice setup there, too, for all the yachtsmen.
Can you tell me about what you remember of the opening ceremony and what your impressions were of Mexico City?
Mexico City, I remember it very well. It was just like Acapulco. It was hot and whatever, but it was nice. It was nice to meet all the people in the Olympics. And I forget now who we were next to, but it was nice to meet the people that we were around during the opening ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember too much else about it, except the flight over and flight back, which were fine. And then we got to Acapulco, and then, of course, everything happened there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What were your impressions of Mexico and the people there?
Mexico and Acapulco people were very nice at that time. I have read a lot of stuff about Mexico since then, as you know, and it's very troubling.
Mm-hmm.
They've got so much stuff down there, so many people that have a problem with drugs and drug trafficking from the, you know, Mexico into the United States, and it was just terrible. I don't know that I would go into Mexico now.
Mm.
Personally, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I think there are some places you can go to that are fairly well protected. Like maybe back into Acapulco. It might be a reasonable place, but I just wouldn't do it.
Mm.
Now, I'm too old, you know, too much traveling as it is, but I just would not, I wouldn't take a chance of going into Mexico.
Mm. How did your family and friends and, you know, just everyone that knew you, how did they react to finding out that you had made the Olympic team?
Well, my wife was so excited, she couldn't understand it, so... she was very excited, and all of the people at the yacht club that I belong to here, called the Yacht Haven Club, were all excited, and they had a nice big party for me and gave me presents and all of that type of thing, and gave us a big send-off to go out to the Olympics. And... It was really, really nice. And before the Olympic, and of course, the Olympic sailing, and then after I finished, I had a lot of people that wanted me to talk to them, so I did. And I went to yacht clubs all around the area in Virginia and gave talks about the Olympics and gave pictures of the pictures that we took at the Olympics, which were some, not that many, but some pictures, and gave a talk about, you know, what went on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Before you arrived in Mexico, did you remember hearing anything about student protests and some violence about 10 days before the start of the games?
I did not hear anything like that. I didn't know that there was any violence there at all. And none of it in Acapulco. It was perfect. People were very, very nice in Acapulco. We all slept in the same hotel, and we had dinner together, breakfast and everything together in Acapulco. At Mexico, we didn't spend much time there. We got in by, I think we left, came in and left the same day. I didn't spend the night in Mexico City.
I see.
But it, but if there was any violence, we didn't hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember hearing anything about trouble on the U.S. team and maybe possible boycotts or protests by members of the U.S. track team?
You know, I don't remember that. Maybe it went on. If it did, it didn't affect the yachting people. So, I just didn't pay that much attention to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Were there protests at that time in Mexico City?
Well, there were students, Mexican students, who demonstrated and protested, and many of them were shot by, I guess it would be government soldiers or police. And then, there were some members of the U.S. track team that were engaged in civil rights protests, nonviolent civil rights protests.
Hmm. Well, you know, I just don't remember that. I don't know whether I was not connected to it. I think what we did was we went to the airport and had a plane, and I think everybody was on the same plane, and we just flew back to Acapulco.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not aware of that, of those kinds of problems. Now, I don't know. I'm sure they have problems now. But at that time, I was not aware of it.
Mm-hmm. So how many people were on your boat? And can you tell me
two people.
Okay.
Two people were on my boat. One was named, my crew was David James. If you've got a picture, any information on the 68 Olympics, there's a book out that has his picture in there with me.
Okay.
And do you have the book?
I have. I have
68.
Yeah,
68 Olympics. Yeah, because I just went through it to refresh my memory, and his picture's there with me now. David, that's my brother. His name is David James. And I'm Bob James, and he's 16 years younger than I was, than I am. And we worked together when he was available. Now, he was in high school at that time. But anyway, when he was available, we worked together on sailing the boat. And, he got pretty good at it. He was a fairly lightweight type of person. And I could get on about that, too, if you'd like to hear it.
Yes.
But, yeah, okay. Anyway, he was relatively lightweight. By that, I mean he was probably about 130 pounds or so, which is pretty light, for a guy. And I was more like about 165 pounds at that time. And I picked him because his lightweight and his ability. He grew up in Matthews, the same place I did, and was exposed to a lot of the racing like I was, as long as he was available. Now, he was born after I had grown up, but he had a boat, and he sailed the boat and crewed for me on the Flying Dutchman. Are you familiar with the Flying Dutchman?
Yes, I've read a bit about it.
Okay, well, Flying Dutchman is a two-man boat, very, very light boat. There's really two classes in the Olympics. One's the Finn, and one's the Flying Dutchman, which is a small boat. Now, the other boats are 5.5 meters, the Star, and the, that's another one, too. But anyway, they're bigger boats with keels. But our boat had centerboard rudder, and same way with the fin. A fin is a single person boat. Flying Dutchman is a two man boat, and the other boats are either two man or more than two. And I think that's described in the book that you have also.
Okay.
Let's see, what was I going to say? What I was going to say is the weather at Acapulco, and I'd like to talk a little about that if you can handled it.
Yeah, definitely.
But everybody that went to Acapulco, they were talking about how hot it's going to be and how much light and air is going to be, what we call light air. So we did that. I took a light crew and went to Acapulco, slept in the hotel, and the biggest thing we had there was the Montezuma's, what we call Montezuma's Revenge. Are you familiar with Montezuma's Revenge?
Unfortunately, I am.
Okay, well, if you... Well, my Acapulco was noted for that at that time, and I think if you went to Mexico City, maybe you would get it also. But we stepped in a room with two other people, my brother and another guy, and I think his name was, I forget his name, but anyway, they had Montezuma's Revenge. Now, I did not have it, and I was very fortunate. But David, my brother, was so sick that he and the other guy, we were sharing one bedroom, one bathroom, and it was all the time back and forth, back and forth. And David got really, really bad, and we were very concerned about him. And we had a doctor on the team, and he gave him stuff that he had. And he missed probably a week of the preparation for the Olympics. We were there early, so we could get out and sail and, you know, and practice. And he was not able to do that. So we went into the Olympics with David, who was somewhat getting over this disease. And we, you know, practiced as much as we could. And then we were short on that, which is kind of a shame, because I think we would have done better had we been more experienced with the waves and things like that. But we were not, because of his illness. So now my wife, believe it or not, sailed with me in one of the practice races that we had there. And, you know, she filled in because David was not available. So anyway, that went through the Acapulco thing with David in bad shape. And now he recovered later on, and by the time we got into the Olympics, he was doing better. But he never did really get over the problem that we had there.
Mm.
So that was our story. Now that's not in the books that you read on it, but that was our story. And I'm surprised they didn't mention the fact that my wife was at the crewing for me during one of those pre-races. We had several races beforehand, you know, to give everybody a chance to experience the waves and experience the heat and all of that type of thing. So,
yeah, definitely. And what is your wife's name?
My wife's name is Mary Ann James.
Okay. And
she was living with me at that time. She has died since then.
Oh, I
but
see.
Anyway.
And David, where does David live now?
David lives in, both in Gloucester, where I'm living, and he lives in Newport News, which is the next by, next to, fairly close to Gloucester, and he comes by and sees me, and we talk about the Olympics and so forth, occasionally. So he's still in the area.
Hmm.
And he would love a call from you if you'd like to give him a call and maybe he could give you some additional information.
Sure.
Carrying our team.
Yeah, I'll get his phone number from you in just a little while.
Okay, that'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. So did you have any interactions with members of other national teams? So interactions with people from other countries?
Yes, we did. I met the Russian. I can't remember his name, but he was sailing a Flying Dutchman, and we interacted quite a bit. Now, there was a problem of talk because he didn't understand what I was saying, and I didn't understand him, of course. And we had met him, and then we met Australian team, and we had sailed against him in our area. He came over here and sailed the Flying Dutchman in several events in our area. Our area means Eastern Virginia. He had a trip planned and came by and sailed in some events here. And the other guy that I met and was Patterson, who was a Flying Dutchman sailor who won. He won everything. He won all of the races except one race. He had a DSQ. I think it was one of the first race. And he went out and sailed the final race, which gave him, what he needed to win. And he won. He essentially won all the races, except for this one. He had a DSQ, and he won that race too.
Mm. So, and Patterson,
he was fantastic. There's no question about it. He was, in the Flying Dutchman, he was by far the best. He's from England. And he practiced with his crew all the time for a couple of years, all over Europe, which is where the Flying Dutchman is built. And he was much better prepared than we were, no question about it. They're the only two people, that we knew and were communicating that much with. Yes.
So this was at the time of the Cold War. Did you feel like the politics of the Cold War interfered at all with relationships and sailing?
No, we did not. I guess I wasn't interested or that exposed to Cold War. I mean, the Russians were there, and we had some communication with him, or with the Russians, but they kind of stayed to themselves. They're mixing with our people, or with the U.S. team and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We'd see him and say hi and so forth, and communicated with him, but that was about it. That was about it with the Russian. And he didn't. He didn't finish. I don't think. I think we beat the Russians. I was looking to see if there was a layered in the material that I have on the Olympics, and it doesn't really give that much about the other team and how they did, or the teams and how they did. Now I know what we did. We were 10th overall, which isn't that good, and our best race was a third. Out of about, 18, 20 boats.
I see.
Our best race was third. Yes?
Mm-hmm. So it looks like Great Britain was first, and then West Germany.
That's probably right, yeah. Great Britain was first, West Germany, and let's see, who was next? I don't recall.
Was it Brazil?
Maybe there was a Brazil there. I don't know whether they finished third or not.
Hmm.
I was looking for the standings in the book that I have, and I didn't see it. I thought they would give a list of all the people and all of the races, but they didn't take time to put that in the book that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've written all that down, and I have it stored around here someplace. But I just can't recall. I couldn't recall.
Yeah.
How that worked out. As far as the Olympics are concerned, I think I've probably covered that now. There's another regatta 4 years later, which I won the Olympic trials. Also, but I was the winner of the let's see, was it? Yeah, Olympic trials. So, yeah, that's it. And I was second, one second in the Olympic trials for that series. And that was 68 would be 72, I guess it would be, Olympics. And I missed out, and I did not go to that. That was Tom Allen. Not Tom Allen, but anyway, he won, and we were second. And I was really, really ready that time, too. I was sailing much better. But anyway, he beat me, so he went, and I did not. However, I won the Nationals that year.
Oh, that's
that very... same year that he beat me in the Olympic trials, and we won the Nationals by winning all of the races.
Oh, wow, that was a really good year for you.
We did a lot more sailing, and either locally or internationally.
Uh-huh.
After the Olympics, we really did, and we got a lot of support for that too. By the way.
And where did that?
I mentioned before that we didn't get much support. And the reason we didn't get much support is because we didn't represent the United States in any other activities, like world championships and things like that. We went to worlds also.
Where did this support come from specifically?
That came from United States International Sailing Association, USISA, I think it's called.
Mm.
And they had money supporting sailing, and they had some money, and they gave it to us and helped us fly over to Europe and to sail in Europe and to sail in France and to... France and another country. I can't recall now. But anyway, they supported us and helped us do that. It wasn't full support. It wasn't like the Olympics where you get everything, but it was enough support to help us fly over and fly back. Mm. So that was good.
Yeah, definitely. So in 1968, the Olympics instituted a drug testing program. So after 1968 or even during 1968, did you remember ever hearing anything about the drug testing program and lists of banned substances?
No, we did not. I didn't get exposed to that stuff. I really did not. And I don't know why. Maybe I was just not aware of what was going on. But we did not have a problem in the sailing in Acapulco. There was no problem with drugs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in other sports, I'm sure there must have been. Now, that's a big problem. In everything, every time I pick up the paper, there's something going on in baseball, or, you name it, football. I mean, it's everywhere now. But at that time, I wasn't involved, and I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything, any talking about it or any concern about it. And I wasn't exposed to it, and, have no reason really to be that excited about it or concerned about it.
Mm-hmm. Bob, what did you...
And I'm not on drugs, by the way, other than medications. I take a few of those, but I've never tried all the other junk.
Well, thank you for clarifying that.
No, I don't do that, and my kids don't do that. We've never had any problems with that.
Mm-hmm. What did you?
Go ahead.
What did you do in Acapulco right after the games? Did you travel around? Did you take a sailing trip, or did you just go straight back to the United States?
What we did was my wife came down there. I mentioned, that she crewed for me in a race or two. So she came down on the second week, I think it was, that we were there and was available for crewing and things like that. And we got around and went out to have dinner in some of the local restaurants that I wanted to get away from the team. we had a team there in Acapulco, but we went downtown and had dinner and so forth. Yeah.
Did you get to go to any of the other events?
No, the only event, that was it. Sailing was it in Acapulco.
Mm-hmm.
There were no other events there. I don't know that that answers your question, but see, there were nothing. Now, the only way we could do, we went to the opening ceremony, and we met the people in some of the other events, but then we flew back to Acapulco, so we were really not associating with them, and we were not able to keep up with what was going on in the other events. Now, I guess some of it came out in the paper, but we didn't see that much.
Mm. So,
yeah, that would have been nice, kept up with it all, but we didn't. We had enough problems as it was.
Yeah.
Had a lot of problems keeping up with our own stuff and going on, the team work. We had meetings every day, team meetings, talking about sailing and that type of thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Reflecting on amateurism and the meaning of amateurism as it was then in 1968, versus amateur sports today, how do you feel about that? What do you think about that?
Well, today I'm not sure whether. Okay, I guess your question has to do with amateurism and being able to participate. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's more open ended or general than that, but that's definitely one aspect of it.
Well, now. Let's see. You have to be an amateur. You have to be an amateur to sail in the Olympics at that time when I was involved in the Olympics. Now there were some people that were involved in boat building, either sail making or boat making, that were able to sail in the Olympics at that time, in 68. Now, how that's changed since then, I'm not really sure. Now, I've always been an amateur sailing myself. I've never been involved in the business of selling boats or selling sails or anything like that. So I guess they're still doing that. I'm not really sure whether they are or not.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help answer your question or not? I'm not sure.
Yes, it does. Do you feel like amateurs today... amateur sailors today get more financial support and help than they did in 68?
Okay. As far as I know, they are being supported by the USISU, United States International Sailing Association, for trips. I think they are getting that now. Unless they're independently wealthy. Well, I mentioned Ted Turner. I don't think he'll get any support because he doesn't need it,
Yes.
You know Ted Turner?
I don't know him, but I know of him.
Okay, well, you know of him. He's a very, very wealthy person. And and there are a lot of people, I guess, along that way that are in sailing, but most of them I don't know. It doesn't bother me to sail against them. I thought that was fun. Trying to beat them with all the money.
Yeah.
And I did that with Ted. Ted, by the way, is a good friend of mine. So I've bet him on several occasions since the Olympic trials.
Mm.
I met him on several occasions. Sailing the Flying Dutchman and... mostly Flying Dutchman. And he gave up on that, of course, and took over the big boats, which he won later, as you probably know, if you know Ted. He won in the America's Cup, and he won other kinds of sailing, big boat sailing. have required an awful lot of money to get a boat like that. So
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
Bob, I could tell you a story about Ted, but don't let this get out, though.
Okay. Do you want me to pause the recorder?
Yeah, do that, because I'm afraid this will get out. I don't want it to happen.
Okay. Okay, I'll pause the So, Bob, to you, what was the most meaningful part of being a member of the 1968 Olympic team and representing your country in the Olympics? What was the most meaningful part of all of that?
Well, the most meaningful part of all of it was, of course, the ability to even get there in the first place, and I did that by winning the trials. And then from then on, it was all preparation, continued preparation, sailing, it was just a recognition, I guess, that I had done that, and all the partying and stuff that they gave me, and everything related to winning the place in the Olympics, and I guess it was just notoriety. At that time, it was important to me. Because all I had done was just win races locally, but nothing of any that magnitude.
What impact did that notoriety have on your life?
It helped. I guess it helped me at work. I'm an aeronautical engineer, and I work for Langley Research Center. And everybody knew me pretty much as a result of this. Not that it helped me as far as financing is concerned, but most people did. They recognized me, and that was important to me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on. Of course, it continued to get even better as time went on. So I don't know how else to answer the question. I didn't let it go to my head. Nor did David. If you ever talk to David, he will tell you the same thing, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed it and enjoyed the participation, and I really wanted to do it again, but I was not able to do it, unfortunately.
Mm. Well, what one piece of advice would you give to today's Olympic hopeful?
Practice, practice, practice. I just think that you have to get a sport and you need to work at it. I mean, really work at getting better in your sport. Now, this is in sailing, and I'm talking about the sailing, not talking about athletics and all that stuff. And it's the same in all the sports. I mean, you just have to be the best. You have to travel and compete in your sport. And you have to do that if you're an Olympic sailor or if you're in any sport. I think you just have to be at the top of your game to win. You really do. So that's my advice, is to practice, practice, and win a lot of sports. Get making room for the Olympic trials. That's the big deal.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like good advice.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we did, and we got there, and the second time around, and that's another story, and I don't want to get into that because you're interested in 68 Olympics, but we practiced, and I changed crew. I had another guy who was willing and able to spend the time practicing with me. And we did that. And we won a lot of races, a lot of nationals and lots of stuff.
Hmm.
And we did not win the Olympic trials, and I was so, so disappointed.
Hmm.
It was not, 'cause I really wanted to win it for my crew.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the name if you'd like to have it, but it's Andy Kittler. is his name, and he and I worked and worked and worked on it. And we got a boat from England and had that boat prepared, and it was winning races. Unbelievable how fast we were. But we had a little problem, and we lost the trials. And at any rate, yeah, I guess it was a good thing that we did that, because from then on, we continued to win races and win all kinds of stuff in the Olympics. I mean, you know, in the United States and in Canada.
Hmm.
Yeah. We sailed in Cork. I don't know if you're familiar with Cork. It's called Canadian Olympic Regatta.
Oh, wow.
Trial. Yeah, we sailed there. We sailed internationally, and, it's great. It's a great thing. And I had to give up the final after several Olympics. I sailed in, let's see, 1, 2, 3 trials, Olympic trials. So that's a lot of years.
No, it is, definitely.
Yes, that's a lot of my time and Flying Dutchman time.
Mm-hmm. So do you...
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you still sail at all, or when did you finally get...
Well, after I sold my boat and got into golf, played golf many years, and finally after that I bought another boat, which is a big sailboat, 42-foot sailboat, and my wife and I sail that on the bay. Chesapeake Bay, and enjoyed it a lot. And we did that for several years. And I finally sold that boat too and just took up golf again. You know, I've been through all of this stuff. I've been through tennis and golf and sailing. I'm that type of person. And I do work, by the way. As much as I have to.
Yeah. You don't want me to think that you just sit around playing golf and tennis and sailing all day.
No, I was not able to do all of that. But we've enjoyed life, and I'll be 80 years this October. October the 20th, I'll be 80. And I think it's going to be hanging up the spikes. And not doing any of that stuff.
Oh.
And see, what I do now is I cut the grass and mow the lawn and do a lot of that stuff. We live on the York River here, and I've got sailing in front of me all day and all night, and motorboating and all that type of thing. So we're fortunate in that respect.
Definitely. It sounds like you are.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up the interview, is there anything else that you'd like to tell me about?
Oh, golly. I don't think so about my physical condition. If you'd like to. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get you involved in that. Right now, I'm having a problem with neuropathy.
Neuropathy. Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's a problem with the feet. And I can't sail because of my feet. And you lose control of your extremities, and mostly my feet is my problem. So I'm walking with a cane, and I'm getting around pretty well, but I'm limited to what I can do now. So that's about it. And I don't want to get involved with all of that. So
okay,
that's another story.
Yeah. Well, Bob.
But anybody with neuropathy has a problem, I'm sure. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts and memories about your Olympic experiences.
Well, it's been a nice talking to you. It's been nice, too. So if there's any questions you might have later, give me a call.
Okay, I'll sure do that. And I'm going to turn off the recorder now.